What's the most efficient and controlled way to distalize maxillary molars in orthodontic practice? In today's session, we'll discuss various techniques and biomechanical approaches for distalizing maxillary molars from conventional appliances to skeletal anchorage systems. Understanding these methods is key to achieving stable and predictable Class II corrections. Today, I want to talk about an article that revisits a classical but still very relevant question in orthodontics. How do we distalize maxillary molars? Molar distalization has been part of our practice for more than 100 years, ever since Engel first used headgear traction. The idea remains the same. Move the upper molars distally to gain space, correct a class II molar relationship, or reduce an excessive overjet. But despite the impressive variety of appliances, the amount of real, stable movement remains rather small. The review by Almuzian and colleagues summarizes the current techniques very comprehensively. They remind us that distalization works best in mild cases, class E2 molar relationships, moderate overjet, or mild crowding up to about 6 millimeters. It can also help intercept ectopic canines, but it's contraindicated if incisors are already proclined in thin gingival biotypes or in high angle or open bite cases. That's because most distalizing forces are extrusive and risk worsening the vertical pattern. In practice, we differentiate between mini distalization, used mainly for eruptive guidance, and macro distalization, used for true class II correction. The macro techniques can depend on compliance, like headgear, removable nudger appliances, or class II elastics, or be non-compliant systems such as the Herbst, Forzas, Mara, or Pendulum. The non-compliance appliances are popular because they do not depend on patient cooperation, yet they still produce a headgear-like effect. However, we must remember that their skeletal impact is limited, about 40% at best, the rest being dental movement. Anchorage loss and molar tipping remain the main challenges. Among anterior options, pendulum and distal jet appliances are widely used. Pendulum designs are simple but tend to tip. The distal jet produces more bodily movement by directing force through the center of resistance. The addition of mini implants for anchorage clearly improves control and efficiency, especially before eruption of the second molars. What does the evidence say? Systematic reviews show that most distalization techniques achieve only about 2 to 2.5 millimeters of distal movement, so not a lot. The changes are mainly dental, not skeletal. Headgear is less efficient, intraoral systems are slightly better, but none is dramatic. So distalization is a valuable but limited technique. It should not be expected to solve crowding greater than 6 millimeters or to replace extractions when space requirements are significant. The secret lies in timing, anchorage management, and realistic expectations. After distalization, retention is critical. Options include overcorrection, Nance arches, short-term headgear, or utility arches. Without proper stabilization, relapse occurs quickly, often as renewed overjet. In summary, distalization remains a useful tool in our clinical toolbox, but it's a subtle one. It works best in carefully selected cases, applied thoughtfully, and anchored meticulously. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Martin Baxman. Let's bring science back to orthodontics.